LA is closing out the spring MPAC season on May 7th and 8th. LA Gaz multimedia essays are part field dispatch, part artist notebook, part home movie, part poem. On Thursday, Gaz will perform The Fortune Tellers, a narrative performance inspired by her six-month residency on the Terra, a research boat drifting near the North Pole to gather scientific data. On Friday, May 8th at 8 o'clock, she'll perform Eureka, a lighthouse play commissioned by MPAC. Eureka centers on the great lighthouse of Alexandria and recounts Gaz's journey, beginning in 2012 when she joined a marine archaeology program at Alexandria University in pursuit of the lighthouse. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Ellie Gaz to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure to have you on the program. Give us a sense of how you came to this type of work, because there are many components to it. And if there is a rock, paper, scissors for you, is there one thing that drives it of saying, okay, well, it's the artistic component, it's the scientific component, it's the field component, it's the travel component?
I think it's the, in a way, the failure to actually do any of those things properly. So this idea for me that comes from at first being a photographer, yes, was always the inability to get what I call the noise around the photograph. So everything that happens outside the photograph that never makes it into the photograph. And of course, I started by making books. I founded a nonprofit publishing press called Ugly Duckling Press, mm-hmm, down in Brooklyn. And I worked with a lot of writers and we would make books. And I was always very interested in this relationship between text and image. And how much does the story inform the image? Very simple. And then when I was in graduate school, a professor of mine said to me, you know what, I think I want you to stop making art just for a semester. She's like, because talking to you is much more interesting than your work. And that's, in a way, when I started to embark on what I call these live essays, which combine sound and documentary and images and my narrations.
So what is so important about the noise? What is so important? What do we learn from that experience of seeing beyond just the image?
I think, you know, in a way we learn about ourselves. I kind of think of it as like an archaeology of the mind, where how we process information and how what lingers, sometimes not always the thing that you're supposed to see. So it's maybe this desire to go further on into, you know, a subject or the minutiae, the very small things that maybe, you know, aren't detected at first.
When I was exploring your work, one of the things that came to my mind is that in some way it's a behind the scenes, because it's not just the image, there's much more to it, but it's still curated by you. It's still your vision. You're still leading us on that journey.
Oh, absolutely. And I think in my performances, that's something that I also take into account, in that even though I'm the person up there, I'm talking, I'm the authority, quote unquote, I'm always sort of letting doubt to my own story that, you know, I can't cobble this together on my own. I'm not an expert. I'm not a scientist. You know, I was in Alexandria studying marine archaeology, but at the same time, I didn't discover anything. You know, part of what I narrate is also the attempt at trying to piece together things and trying to access people and trying to access information. And when that gets thwarted, that's kind of, in a way, when the art starts happening. It's like when you can't quite get that interview, when the when, for example, a specific example in Egypt, and I was doing a lot of diving, but in Egypt, no photography is allowed in museums. Mm. And the underwater ruins of the Great Lighthouse, the submerged ruins that are, you know, on the seabed, is technically considered a museum. So no photography is allowed.
Sure.
So how do we then, you know, document when we're not supposed to be documenting, and what then do we fill in? You know, is it through interviews? Is it through people's memories? So it's always that bit of tension that is where my work begins, really.
You see it as a performance.
Absolutely. I see it as a performance, in that performance is such a large term. And there are many, many, many fish in the sea of performance. For me, it's what I personally would call it is a live narrative essay, but people really don't care what I want to call it. Of course, obviously, it's something that the critics, you know, need to put the term on. They don't want to hear what an artist wants to call it. But I would call it an essay, because for me, the essay is a type of genre that I feel allows for the poetry, it allows for nonfiction, it allows for information, it allows for the personal. And for me, it's the genre that allows for all this to happen in one, you know, area. So that that for me would be the best term, a live essay. Yeah.
So a live essay would also would take away, to me, I wouldn't get the same of that performance aspect, that it has much more nuance than you telling us about this right. adventure or this place that you went right. to.
No, absolutely. I mean, for example, I try to think of a metaphor that leads the viewer. So, for example, in The Fortune Tellers, which is the piece based on my time around in the Arctic Ocean, you start off by watching this video called the Yo-Yo Lecture, and you don't know, it's the beginning of the performance, you have no idea why you're watching this, and you only see a glimpse of the Arctic at the very end of this 10-minute video. And it's about the etymology of the word yo-yo and how we find it in different parts of the world. We find it in, of course, we call an old-timer would call it like, in New York, we call you a yo-yo if you were a little up and down in your
sure.
mood. And we
yeah.
obviously it's a toy, but it's also a bathymetric term for measuring the first 50 meters of the ocean, up, down, very quickly for salinity and temperature. And they call it a yo-yo because the pattern on the computer screen that marks the CTD's course, which is this instrument that's used, is like a yo-yo. And also in medicine, a yo-yo is... when you put in, I forget what it's called, the technical term, but it drains the pus out of the ear to regulate ear pressure.
Yeah.
And so you kind of explore this word, and then that becomes the metaphor for the whole piece, which is about what happens when 10 people are locked into a ship and drifting indefinitely. You know, this idea of the yo-yo being an emotional state as well. So in my performance, I try to set up a metaphor that then we as an audience all together try to piece together throughout the work, which is why it's very different than a lecture, for example.
We're just about out of time, but what attracts you to the unknown, do you think?
I don't know if it's the unknown, if it's more the curiosity for the overlooked, I would say more than the unknown, the curiosity for the overlooked.
Because there is, but even in this, some of these pieces, we don't know what's on the other side, right? We don't know why it's there or what's there or how it got there. I mean, there are question marks.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I understand the curiosity part of
yeah.
it, of course. But there's a lot of it doesn't have immediate answers.
No, but perhaps that's where it is. It's the idea that it's an uncertain territory where we can kind of create our own questions and answers.
Which is nice because that gives us a power that we probably normally wouldn't have.
Perhaps.
It's fascinating work. You are going to be performing on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, The Fortune Tellers, and on Friday, May 8th at 8 o'clock, you'll be performing Eureka, a Lighthouse play, both in Studio 2 at MPAC in Troy. And I thank you so much for sharing your work with us. You can go to mpac.rpi.edu for more information. And best of luck. Have a wonderful
time. Oh,
thanks
so much. Thank you.
Hope to see you
there.
Yeah, Ellie Ga will, again, be at RPI and MPAC on Thursday and Friday. mpac.rpi.edu for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.